Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we are doing part two of our topic on family fun. I'm joined with three guests, and I'm excited to learn more, especially when we start to talk about good ideas and how we can have more fun in our relationships. We have Boyd and Michelle Craig joining us today. Welcome.
Good morning.
Why don't you just give us a quick, brief introduction?
Great. Well, Michelle and I have been married for 27 years. We're the parents of three terrific children. They're married. They married their equals or betters. And so we're at a great stage of life, six wonderful young adults in their early to mid-20s.
And you forgot to say we're really fun.
And we're really fun.
Nicely done. Nicely done. And we also have joining us Catherine Sagers. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi. Great to be here.
Please introduce yourself.
I'm Catherine Sagers, and my husband and I have been married for 25 years, and we are the parents of six children with an 18-year span between a 23-year-old all the way down to a 5-year-old. So we're pretty crazy.
And fun.
Definitely fun.
You know, it's really great. And I'm grateful that you introduced yourself in such a way so that we can see different demographics, so to speak, or different seasons in our relationships, because that's important to consider. And as we're talking today, I think that it's important to understand the origin of where, at least the springboard for where we're coming from, and that's from the Proclamation to the World on the Family, where we have this wonderful little line that says, successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities. And we spent our first episode fleshing that out and talking about how meaningful that is and how important that is within relationships. And so with this in mind, I like the different demographics because we have listeners who are newly married, who are on the cusp of getting married. We have those who have very young children, and they are scurrying around just to be able to see if we can keep people fed, different stages and seasons. But yet this is something that's critical for every stage. Is that correct?
Oh, I agree.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that that's something sometimes we forget about. Well, okay, we'll start having fun when the kids are old enough to have fun. We'll start doing meaningful experiences as soon as this happens or the circumstance, as soon as we have enough money or as soon as I'm retired or... I mean, this is a dangerous game, but it's a very real game in relationships and marriage and family. So as we're exploring today, let's keep in mind is how can we find ways to have this wholesome recreational activity being a very important part. Now, in our last episode, we ended on the meaning of wholesome recreational activities. And Boyd, you brought up some important things. And I thought if we can just recap that very briefly and we'll springboard from that.
Sure. Well, it was just looking at the words wholesome and recreational and looking specifically at the word recreation, recreation, renewal, something that renews you from the things that tear you down, that wear you down, which life wears you down. So the idea that it's not just fun and entertainment only, but engaging in things personally and with others that renews yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, and especially in our relationships with each other.
You know, this causes me to think in some experiences in my own life where we're going doing some fun things and I'm exhausted after we do them and I'm thinking, maybe those weren't very renewing, you know, maybe I missed
the
point.
Need a vacation for my vacation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so I think that this is important. I wanted to lay that foundation as we start to explore various ideas of how marriages and families in all the different aspects, young children, small children, empty nesters, etc., can have these renewal experiences, because that's a phrase there in this proclamation that's very, very critical, wholesome recreational activities. Now, Catherine, you were mentioning about your grandfather using this phrase and how it was a meaningful part of his renewal.
It really was. He was really going too hard with his work. And he one day had a heart attack. And with this heart attack, his doctors told him, Listen, you are going to die if you don't learn to renew yourself and to de-stress and to truly give yourself a break now and then. So he decided that the thing he would do is that he would go up to the Snake River. One of his favorite places in Montana is the Snake River, and he loved to go fishing there. And he built this little cabin, a little old cabin there, and took his family up there summer after summer. And it was such a renewal process for him. He said it changed his life completely. And he later wrote about it in his journal and called it wholesome recreation. And now it's become a tradition in our family. We go up to Montana in our family, and we go to a cabin up there, and we do the similar things. We go fishing. I don't think there's anything that renews you more than fishing, because you sit and you have a chance to chat and talk, and it's kind of a slow process. And we go hiking in the beautiful mountains. We truly enjoy nature. We do all of these things. And like Boyd was saying, it is a renewal process. It gives you more energy and makes you feel better about life and about yourself.
Nicely said. And I like the way that this came about when you're telling me about this. Is I don't think it'd be inappropriate to say, is your grandfather was Steve Neil Richards.
Right.
And so he was not just stressed probably with professional experiences, but also church calling experiences.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I don't want to draw too much out about that, but all of us have served in callings where it is
It can provide
stressful because you want to serve appropriately, et cetera. So I like that aspect. The other part I liked about it when you're telling it is you were saying that your father was telling the story to your family. And so when you said it, it's gone through our family links, is there is an impact there.
You're right. It's intergenerational. And I'm hoping to teach my kids the same idea, that we need to have a place, or we call it a gathering place, to renew ourselves and to reinforce our relationships with one another.
This is really great. And let me give another segue here. Is I remember talking to a young woman once, came in and talked to me, and she says, she wasn't married. She was a college-age student. And she said, I've discovered what I need to be happy in my life. I need to have a very large house. I need a Steinway piano, and I need a boat. And I said, well, okay. And this is a very sharp young woman. And I was a little surprised by this. And I said, tell me a little bit more why you need to have these things. She goes, because that's what happiness really is derived from. And I thought, oh my goodness, really? A boat? And it wasn't a piano. It had to be a Steinway and a very large house. Well, we started talking more a little bit about this. And it dawned on me as she was telling me about why the house, why the piano, and why the boat, is these were elements that were connected with her family relationships. So she was remembering fun experiences when they were boating. And she was remembering experiences with her mother that were meaningful, sitting playing the piano together. And she had some experiences in her home. And so she was associating these with objects. Now, the reason I bring this out is, and as we were talking together, is do you realize that it's not the boat that was the most important part? It was what was happening. And it just happened to be around the boat or happened to be at the piano. And it wasn't the brand of piano that was critical. So when we're talking about these things, and the reason I bring this up is I love what's being said here, is it's the experience that's happening.
And also the time.
The time.
That your family takes. My father was a very busy man. And just the fact that he took time for me to do these simple things, go on a walk or go on a Honda ride or do these, you know, go to fishing, it's the time is critical too.
This is so important. Michelle?
My father always taught us growing up, and it's something that we've tried to continue. He always said, buy experiences, not things. And so in our thinking of, you know, we didn't have living room furniture for 18 years. Truly, we didn't. And we
didn't.
We've talked about that. We've had a lot of fun. And we've had memories, and we've taken some vacations that we could have used that money and put it towards a couch, but we don't take that with us. But we have memories that I think have bonded us. And one thing that has really impacted Boyd and I, we went to a funeral a number of years ago of a fine young man in our ward who passed away, and Elder Holland was the speaker at the funeral. And we have used some of his advice to us in our family. He said, the things we take with us when we leave, our character, our covenants, and our family relationships. And so that's what I want to spend my time on, my character, my covenants, and my relationships. And I think as we're talking, those wholesome family or wholesome recreational activities really strengthen our family relationships and those experiences. And we laugh sometimes. Our son, when he was about 14, once, I can't remember what this Christmas or birthday was coming up, and He said, I want a thing, not an experience.
That's
I think we'd have enough of the experiences.
So. That's great, Bo.
I want to share two experiences related to time we spend with each other. One is when one of our children, when our children were very young, I noticed that one of our children was just misbehaving a lot, was upset, was crying, was being a little bit resistant and rebellious, as much as a 3 or 4 year old can do. And I remember Michelle and I asking each other, what's going on here? And as I thought about it, one evening I was out in the garage and the feeling came to me, the problem is not that child. The problem is you, Boyd. What this child really needs is time with you. They need the security and feeling of love that they have you. They have your time. What you need to do is start just initiating uninterrupted, total dedicated time with this child. So we started going on little outings, going out for ice cream at the grocery store, going to the park, playing games together, whatever it was. And it absolutely amazed me within just a day or two, the behavior turned totally around.
That's amazing.
The second experience I want to share is also early in our marriage. I remember Michelle and I talking about what we wanted our Sabbath day to be like. Sabbath day set aside as a day of renewal, of rest, of worship. And what should that mean for our family? And one of the great things about the Sabbath is that it's a day set aside from work. So it's one of your best opportunities really to have great quality interactive time. And we also discovered that we had competitors for our children's engagement. We'd have neighborhood kids that would come around and say, can Bobby play? Can Lauren go play? And it was part of what these kids did. They had fun. It was wholesome, I suppose. But we thought, what do we want to do that draws our family together and time? So we start talking about how could the Sabbath be a joy for our family instead of a dread where our children just learn what you can't do all
right.
day.
No, that's good.
What's the great things that we can have our children look forward to that day for? We decided that one of the ways that we would do that is that we would play games together. Now, that may not be something that all families love. Every family should choose what makes the Sabbath day a delight and a holy day for them. But for us, rather than watching a lot of television or go out and do things, for us was a tradition of playing board games and all sorts of different games together. Well, interestingly, that's what we did, and that's what the kids looked forward to. It's what made the Sabbath a great day, in addition to the great traditions of going to church and having a great meal together and praying together. It was a family day in the quiet and joy of our home with beautiful sacred music playing, but with lots of fun and laughter around a board game. And to this day, over 20 years later, we do that almost every Sunday.
I like this, and I like meaningful experiences. They tend to almost perpetuate themselves if you get the ball rolling and people buy into those experiences. So this is nice. And I also liked the way that you said this is, well, board games might not be for everyone, but the principle behind it is for everyone, is finding ways to connect and have those renewing experiences. We had our grandchildren over for a family gathering, and I was wrestling a little bit with one of them on the couch, and he's only 3, and he kind of pushed me off the couch, and he started laughing. He goes, ha ha, Dad, Pa, you fell in the snake pit. And all of a sudden, I was just overwhelmed with emotions, because when our children were very young, we used to be on the bed and we would do karate matches and we would wrestle with all of our children, regardless of gender, regardless of age. And the object was to push someone off into the snake pit. Now, the reason I bring that up is that was a lot of fun and our kids loved it. But it is now I have a grandchild who is obviously wrestling on the bed with his father, my son, and the snake pit lives on. So whatever the connector is. So now let me pick your brains and your hearts on this one then is let's throw out some ideas or things where families can have fun together. Just It could be anything that you find or have found that it works, or things that you might suggest to others. Say, here's something we learned. When we had young children, we did this. For example, I remember my wife used to write the names of our children on the front tire of our car. And when we'd go somewhere, then wherever we parked, whoever's name was down closest to the ground, they got to be able to choose whatever we were going to do, the activity or a treat or something like that. And I look back on that and I thought, you know, that was so simple, but it was so fun, especially for our younger children. And so getting in the car was not always a drudgery, but it was fun. So anything that comes to mind that you might say, here's a suggestion that we have found in family life, either for couples, young children, whatever in family life. Let's just throw some of these out here. What do you think?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of things.
See, I know you guys are fun families. That's why I'm having you here. And so you can just like whip these out.
I know. In our family, we love sports. And so a lot of our kids play sports. And we've found that it's a great thing to gather all together and go support a child that's in a sporting event, like a soccer game. You know, I mean, sometimes the older ones say, oh, do I have to go to another soccer game? But we make it fun. We all go together. We cheer. They have like a little cheering section for them. And then we'll go get an ice cream cone after. And it's, you know, an hour long, but it's a really great bonding experience.
And I like how it's not just, for example, one child's event. It's the family's event.
Yes, yes.
And we do much the same thing as far as that would be. And we found that that's very important. Now, we are in the stage our season is our youngest is a senior in high school, and he is constantly asking his siblings, well, where are you? I have a ball game. Well, what's going on here? I've gone to all of your ball games. And bless their heart, these are married children, and they'll come back and go because it's what we do.
It's what you do.
Here's another thing to build on that one is sometimes they'll even make signs. And I think it's hilarious. Yeah. So they'll stand over there on a sign of a little league ball game or whatever the sport might be. And I just think that's fun for both participant and for those that are watching.
And it's great for the participant where they look in the stands and they see, wow, everybody's cheering for me. You know, my little five-year-old has a dance recital coming up. And I told everybody, you get this on your calendar. She's 5 years old, but she is so excited to see her siblings there and to support one another.
That's great. Other ideas?
I think food is a big draw. And, you know, whether it's meals or special foods that you make on holidays or traditions, or like you said, going out to ice cream after. But I think that, well, works in our family. You know, brings our family together and sometimes makes something a little more special.
That's nice. And I know that you've done this is with your children and their friends. You would invite all of the friends over on Fridays for Friday treats.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that. Honestly, started out as kind of just a fluke, but it ended up being a tradition that was probably one of the best things that I've done. I used to make treats for my kids for an after-school snack on Fridays, right. And they'd come home and there'd be brownies or a cake or cookies. And one day it was raining and I picked up my son and his friends and I just brought them all home. I said, I've got a cake at home. Do you guys want some? And they loved it. And they ended up coming every Friday.
Right.
And they dubbed it Treat Friday. And then pretty soon my girls are like, well, if he's bringing his friends, can we bring our friends? I'm like, why not? And pretty soon, Friday afternoons, I just set aside and I'd have anywhere from 5 to 40 kids at my home hanging out and eating cookies. And
what better place to have them than in your home?
I loved it. That's and it great. Required a little work, but it was wonderful.
Great experience.
It was fun.
Oh.
You know, speaking of friends, one of the things we learned is we all know how important our children's friends are to them. So we discovered that one of our best ways to connect with our children was to have fun with them and their friends.
That's good.
Create experiences, go out, do whatever. And in the process, their friends learn that we're fun, that we're normal. And
we're not
through
too
that,
weird.
Our children learn because of how their friends talk about us, that we're not that bad. So it was really an important way for us to stay close to our kids by getting close to them and their friends together.
That's really great. Other thoughts or ideas? I'm just flooded with ideas of ways people are things that I've observed. I'm a gleaner. I've always been. I watch people and I'm like, oh, I like that idea. How do I either adopt that or adjust that, you know? And I sometimes tease and I say, one of the best things you'll ever do as a family is make an investment in blinds. So that way you can lower the blinds in your house or your apartment or wherever you're at, and then you can just be yourselves and be crazy and have fun. Is in our family, we dance for pancakes on Saturday mornings, or we listen to fun music that are traditional things, and it's fun to watch how they do it. Birthday songs. We have our own little special birthday song, and the whole family will do this kind of like dancing experience. And it's rather embarrassing. I'm putting myself out there without my family's permission telling these things, but that's where we close the blinds. But there's so many different things, other ideas that come to mind.
I think also when you're talking about fun, maybe fun to a 5 and 6 year old is a lot different than fun to a teenager.
This is really a good point.
Sometimes you need to cater what you do. And, you know, growing up, my dad and mom were great with this. They used to always say, you know, we'll have a one-on-one date with you where you can choose what you want to do. And that would be a great time for you to just go out with one or the other parent, even if it was just to go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. You know, you had that time with your parent. And it's different than, you know, a lot of teenagers don't want to do the things that little kids want to do. And so you have to remember that fun is different things to different people.
That's good. And I also like this is we found this in our family and other watching other families is sometimes it's helpful to say we're doing this for our 5-year-old.
Yes.
But everyone's coming along because this is about the 5-year-old and it teaches older children to be a little more compassionate and a little bit participant and understand the needs. And then because there's going to be a time where that 5-year-old is going to be doing a teen activity
exactly.
And vice versa. So I like this concept.
Most of the time. And my parents used to always say, okay, on Saturday, everybody's got to do their jobs. We're going to have a family work party. And we would say, oh, we'd grown. But then my parents would crank up the music and we all did our jobs and it was actually a fun party. We'd have food and treats while we all did our chores, which was always another
thing. You know, it's funny you bring that up is one of the traditions in our family is whenever we work in the yard, we always wear these headbands. And I picked them up once when I was on an assignment in Japan. And so our kids were very young and we brought them back and we said, we're going to be yard ninjas. And so it was just finding a way to create something
fun.
That was different and make work because we had a lot that we needed to do. But that's just life. But to find a way to be able to do that. So our family, we did yard ninjas. And to this day, we have people still wearing their little headbands whenever we work together in the yard or do jobs together. So spoonful
right.
of sugar, headbands, whatever it is to be able to take the mundane and make it a little bit more enjoyable. Michelle, you brought up in our previous episode that this fun is kind of the lubricant of life, and it does make things easier and go down well. Other thoughts or ideas that come to mind?
You know, I think one of the things that I think is really great is to celebrate milestones and to make memories out of ordinary. You know, whether it's a first young women meeting.
So, that's good.
You know, with a 12-year-old, let's make it something special. Maybe we're going to go to dinner before or make a special food or something to make it stand out and, you know,
really
just
like
ordinary.
That. In our family, we do birthdays. It's really a big deal because everybody knows you're going out to your birthday dinner and you're going to have a chance to get compliments. We do compliments. Go around. Why does everybody love this person? And it's really just a simple thing to do, but the person kind of looks forward to it all day. And they say, you know, they get to choose their favorite restaurant and they get to choose where to sit. And it's like holding them up.
That's good. I like this a lot. As a matter of fact, in our family, we have a little saying. This kind of came out of when people are dealing with personal tragedies, like in 7th grade, where everything's a personal tragedy. But if you don't want something to be a big deal, don't make it a big deal. But then we have the reverse of that when we say this all the time. But if you want it to be a big deal, make it a big deal. And so I like these ideas is what's happening. You're saying this, we want this to be special. So we're going to make it special in whatever means that is. And I remember in some cases celebrating birthdays when we were first married, we didn't have any money at all. We were so poor. It's amazing. We actually survived. But little things like I remember making flowers out of construction paper and gluing them on coat hangers. That's the best that we had, and that's all we could afford. But yet, looking back on it, as I was going through and we were cleaning out some things in our basement, and I came across a box, and there was a bouquet of hanger flowers. And I thought, of all the things to be able to be saved, is my wife saved that one, you know, kind of a thing. Is once again, it's not necessarily that it was a huge deal, but it was in our minds, it was making it different or special.
Right? Now, I was also thinking about a principle that I've learned about having fun and renewing experiences with children, especially, and that is to give them the opportunity to decide what they'd like to do with you. There's been a little theme of that as we've talked together. to give a child to say, I would love to spend a couple hours with you. Let's go on a date or let's spend some time on Saturday. And you get to decide what sounds fun to you. Then it comes from them and that they're planning, they're excited. And one of the things I actually learned from Catherine's father is a principle that what is important to another person must be as important to you as that person is to you.
Well, that's nice.
And that to me is a key for not fun defined by what you like to do as the spouse or the parent, but to have joy in doing something that would bring a lot of joy to whoever you want to spend time with.
This is really good. And my mind is just swirling as well as my feelings of all these good things that you're mentioning. And I thought that it might be worthwhile to mention, because you've all had experience with this. Sometimes as parents, we have the opportunity, and this might be a little strong, but I think it's our responsibility to expose our children to new experiences. Sometimes they're like, oh, this isn't going to be any fun. I'm sure we've all had that. This is going to be the dumbest thing we've ever done. And then all of a sudden turns out to be they just have an ecstatic experience. And I think sometimes parents need to be brave enough and couples need to be brave enough to try new things, because it's a renewal. And my experience has been sometimes we try things and it doesn't work out very well.
And you can laugh about it for years.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Those are some of our favorite memories.
It's true.
Are the fails. The
fails.
Things that were just
remember when we did
awful.
That?
Remember when we just like froze and it was just everything went wrong. But then that's what you remember and you laugh about it for a long time.
You do.
That
and
is so great.
And doing these things reinforces the self-worth of every child that does it with you. It makes them feel like I am part of the family.
This is so good. You know,
it's a wonderful thing to create a spirit in a family where it's normal for people to make fun of themselves. To not
but
get
not
so serious, not
yeah.
fun
yeah.
of each other,
nicely said.
But of themselves, where it's okay to have done something dumb, to have tried something and it flopped, to have said something, made a mistake, and to let your kids make fun of you a little bit and laugh with them. There is just something so good about that.
So renewing, actually. This is so good. And I like this is where we learn to have fun with each other. And it's some people are surprised when they learn more about, for example, general authorities and that they actually have a fun side to them and thinking, no, that can't be true. For example, one of my favorite things has been people who have been when Sister Oscarson, Bonnie Oscarson was called to be the Young Women's General President. It was amazing how many hits went on her Pinterest site. And people were saying, she is so fun. She is so fun because all the things that she had tagged. And I thought, why would that be so surprising? You have these individuals who are, as the proclamation talks about, who are finding happiness in their lives, regardless. This isn't about a calling and it's not about a profession. It's about our relationships in marriage and family and having fun as being a core part of living our lives. What a blessing that is.
I agree. The Prophet Joseph Smith was really fun. He
really
used to wrestle with the children and play the stick game and do all sorts of amazing things. And he used to always say how important it is to be lighthearted, not light-minded, but lighthearted.
That's right. Nicely said. Well, sadly, we are out of time once again, but I would like you to give maybe one last comment. The thing that you're thinking that's impressed you the most or from your own experience in relationships and fun in relationship and say, well, here's my parting shot. And here's what I think is important. That I hope people would understand this. And so let's just share what you might share because we're almost done here.
I would just say that, like we were talking about before, I think having fun is the spice of life. It's just such a great thing to get together with your family members and laugh and create memories and have traditions. And these are the things that hold you together and that will bind you together. And I just think it's in my own family, one of our favorite things to do is to rehash old things that have happened and old movies that we've seen. And I just think that this develops just great relationships and helps you to just have more self-worth and feel a part of it all. So that would be my parting
I love
statement.
It. That's great. Michelle?
I'd just like to share how much joy and happiness that I find in my roles as a wife and as a mother. And there really is so much joy in that for me. I know
is it
there's
fun?
A lot. Not every moment. Not every moment, but that's where I find my greatest joy and happiness. And it requires work and planning. And would I do things differently? Of course, in some
Sure.
Aspects, but I have no regrets because I feel like I've tried to enjoy and have fun at every stage of our family's life.
You know, this is a really important part, and I want to underscore that is every stage. I like that. Some people are waiting for when they become toddlers, and then we'll start to have fun, or if we could just get rid of the teenage years, but learning to have fun in teenage and toddlers, infant, whatever the stage.
And I have had my sad moments because now my children are gone. And we're empty nesters, and it's this new stage, and no grandchildren yet. And so, but I've determined to find joy in this stage and to not look back, but to look forward with faith, as our prophet says,
right.
And to find joy in life and in our day-to-day experiences.
That's so
well,
great.
Men are that they might have joy, right? That's what Heavenly Father wants.
That's the plan. That is the plan. Boyd?
Just two quick thoughts. One is, there are countless specific ideas and activities that you can do to have fun. And we might at times fail for an idea. But what I've learned is when you put and apply your heart to create an experience with someone else that you'll have fun and joy with. And when you give your time, your creative best time to the planning and to the carving out of that time just to be totally dedicated to that person, the real results happen because you are bonded. You are close. You are renewed in something that is totally unique to a family relationship. The second is maybe a parting thought that one of the first things you said in the beginning was not only what are the principles and doctrines and things that we've been taught about this principle, but have there been any warnings? Well, you could come up with a lot of warnings, but one is that you could get carried away with the idea of fun.
Right.
Where it's fun that you worship individually and as a family and not fulfill the ultimate purpose. And so realizing that our covenants are first, that our relationship with the Lord is first, and that in that we will find joy and be directed how to renew these family relationships and have fun. And on the other hand, we won't put ourselves at risk at becoming so focused on fun and family that we may actually let ourselves down in the other important areas of our covenants and our responsibilities, our opportunities to get outside of ourselves and our families to serve others in need. So that is the balance. Everything taken to its extreme will become a vice.
That's a good point. And we see that even in scriptures where some people say, oh, we learn in the scriptures you're not supposed to laugh. Oh, actually, that's not true. It's when it was taken to the extreme where it becomes rude and vulgar as far as that goes. So I like this point. This is really good. Well, thank you so much for your comments. These have been so good. And I just think of everything that has been said and the way that you have said that is thank goodness for the gospel of Jesus Christ, where it takes individuals, regardless of their circumstances, whether they have or they don't have, whether they're in a time of need or desperation or where things seem to be going pretty well, and it frames it appropriately so that we can have, well, Michelle, you use this word and it's scriptural, joy, which is a different element than sometimes the way the world calls fun. And I think that's important. One other thing I just wanted to underscore that you have said so nicely is I remember a letter that came from the First Presidency quite a few years ago, but it was about families, and there was a plea in it for parents, and it said that they asked, it says, will you devote your best efforts to this experience, to your families and to your marriage? And I think that maybe that's what we need is saying, I'm going to devote my effort and my best efforts to this. And I know that our Father in heaven will always help us when we devote our efforts. If we're seeking this, if you would like your marriage to be better and more fun, if you'll devote your energy and effort and combine that with our Father in heaven, He will support you, He will sustain you, and He will enlarge you. And the same goes with our families, regardless of what season we're in. And I think that that is true in every aspect. Thank goodness for a loving Father in heaven. I hope this is appropriate to say, who is so powerful, so meaningful, and in so many ways provides so much joy and fun. And I think that's important. So thank you so much for your comments and your help.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.